A man living without his people didn't live well. A problem Bloodbear considered as he stared down at the remains of his moccasins. The buffalo hide jacket hanging from his shoulders looked tattered, mangy, where the hair had begun to slip. A man alone could only pack what he and his dog could carry. Over the last couple of years, a kill meant a feast. A credible hunter in the beginning, he'd honed those skills until he passed through the sage as quietly as an owl's shadow. Despite that, a lone man couldn't organize a trap, couldn't drive, or utilize the benefits of numbers of hunters in a surround. Rather, he had to creep cautiously forward, employing every benefit of terrain, wind, and cover to his greatest benefit. In spite of it all, his ribs stood out. The growl in his belly might be assuaged by a gorging feast after a kill, but within days the carcass would be down to stripped bone. He crushed bones for the marrow and boiled the grease from the fragments. This he skimmed from the top of the water before he drank it, spitting out the sharp chips. From where he sat on the ridgetop, staring out over the vast basin of the Mud River, he could look back at the Buffalo Mountains and remember the warm, friendly lodges of his people. In his heart, an emptiness beat in time with each breath. He'd led the party of warriors after Clearwater. Throughout the fruitless chase, the reserve in their eyes haunted him. Each man's expression reflected the thoughts within. This man who leads us chased the wolf bundle away from the Red Hand. This man, this Bloodbear, killed the Spirit Man. He broke the power of the people. Of course, they had failed to find Clearwater and Two Smokes. One by one, his party melted away into the night to return to the camps, telling of failure, of defeat. When Clearwater left, she'd taken the soul of the Red Hand with her.
I'll find it. One day I'll find the wolf bundle. And when I do, I'll return. You hear that, my people? I will return to the Red Hand and bring back the soul Clearwater and Two Smokes took from us.
Raising his gaze to the endless blue vault of the sky, Bloodbear shook his head, standing, lifting his clenched fist overhead and turning to face the blinding sun.
By my blood and soul, I ask you to honor my request. Give me the wolf bundle. Give me a sign, a way to find it. Do this, wise one above, and I shall humble myself before you. Hear me! I would give my life for the wolf bundle. I would give everything dear to me. You hear me?
Mouth working, he squinted up at the searing sun. From his pouch, he took a sharp, chert knife. Crouching, he placed his left hand on a rounded quartzite cobble, looking down only long enough to center the sharp stone blade over the end joint of his little finger. The sting of the knife gratified. The warm spurt of blood on the blade and hafting sent a shiver of excitement through his trembling body. Ignoring the pain, he plucked the bit of flesh from the blood-smeared rock and lifted it.
I offer of myself. With my flesh I bind myself to you. Take what you will of me, but give me the wolf bundle.
With all his might, he threw the tip of his little finger up into the air, losing it in the burning glare of sun. For a moment, the image might have been a man of light staring down at him, weighing his words. He blinked. The afterimage of the Sun Man burned darkly against his clamped eyelids. Trickles of water traced his cheeks as he opened his eyes, seeing only the two radiant orb of the sun. A puff of breeze cooled the tear tracks on his cheeks.
Did the spirit world hear? All of my years of mocking. Did anything happen?
He felt the spatter of blood on his moccasin top. Looking down, he stared dumbly at his throbbing finger.
Did anything happen? Or was it only in my mind?
Search as he might, He couldn't find the severed tip of his finger. Two Smokes hadn't felt so wretched and hurt since that day so long ago. 8 long summers had passed since he and Clearwater had fled Blood Bear and the Red Hand people. Now his soul shriveled as if burned in fire. Across the lodge, Little Dancer slept, the twitching of his face and body reflecting tortured dreams.
Yes, he knows.
Born under the wolf bundle, Little Dancer understood the horror of what had happened. His mother's power lived strong in him, almost a throbbing presence that constantly sought relief.
And I made a promise on the wolf bundle.
In his hands, he stroked the holy bundle, wounded by the damage done to the sacred object in his care, frightened at the future retribution he knew lurked just over the horizon. He could feel it, powerful, heavy in the air, like the coming of a storm. His responsibility. He blinked wearily, remembering Dancing Doe as she dashed her child onto the rocky terrace top.
A child saved, a child taken. Will that be all? Will the defiled wolf bundle ask something more?
Last time it had been his leg and Clearwater's life claimed in payment for his incompetence. Just a bare dash and a spirit woman, they had no business trying to work a trap like that. Experienced hunters could read the bison, understand their ways. Clearwater had located the small herd. Two Smoke's idea had been to hem the beasts between the banks of the arroyo above where they fed. The drive had been easy, like in the stories told by hunters. They'd pushed the animals gently, the buffalo always drifting beyond dart range until the walls of the valley rose around them. Clearwater had looked across, excited eyes flashing, seeing the buffalo milling before the mouth of the arroyo.
Now, rush them! Frighten them!
Ah! 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 Woo!
And he charged the big beasts, afraid of the lances of sunlight glinting off their long black horns. Looking placid, almost stupid, they wheeled. Those crowded against the wall of earth, goring angrily at their neighbors. The lead cow had turned to face him, head lowered, and he jumped to the side in fear. Seeing him give way, the cow whirled with blinding speed, bolting for the hole to freedom. He felt rather than heard the thick hooves clawing, pounding for traction. Sunlight gleamed from clattering black horns as clearly as it had that long ago day. He could smell the dust swirling up around their curly-haired brown hides.
Yeah! Yeah!
Slowly, as if in spirit dream, Clearwater's legs seemed to stiffen, reaction sluggish so soon after giving birth. Then the buffalo calf, eyes glazed wide with fear, broke left, passing on Clearwater's far side. The huge cow planted a foot, dirt spraying as she spun, twisting at the sound of her calf. Dropping her head, hindquarters lowered, she'd pushed off, the long horn tip catching Clearwater in the small of the back. Helplessly, Two Smokes had watched as the enraged cow tossed her head. The horn tip ripped upward, splitting the skin under Clearwater's milk-rich breasts. His eyes met hers for a split second, a communication of terror and disbelief. Frantic buffalo obscured the rest as Two Smokes turned to run.
No!
Two Smokes' vision shimmered, a mirage dancing his sight away and out of focus. He wondered how long he had lain there, floating up and down from consciousness. A vague image of night, of shivering and hurting, played briefly about his mind. Two Smokes tried to swallow, his tongue swollen and dry. He shut his eyes tight against the burning agony in his leg. He tried to move again, digging his trembling fingers into the gray silt of the arroyo bottom.
The infant. Gotta get back to the infant.
Against the gritty feeling, Two Smokes stared at the assorted gravels in the main channel, beaten and pocked now from the milling feet of mad buffalo.
My fault. And without me, The child will die. No, I'll make it back. I've got to. I'm all he has.
Teeth clamped hard, he braced himself and pulled with his arms, levering himself forward, the mangled leg dragging behind.
My fault.
He would die, with Clearwater's shriek echoing in his mind. His inexperience had killed the only woman he'd ever loved. Then something changed. His head had been moved. He knew it, despite the lightning bolts of pain that racked him. Two Smokes tried to find himself in the waves of misery.
Anita, can you hear me? Drink. Slow.
Warm fingers parted his cracked lips, working between his teeth to pry his jaws apart. A slight trickle of water traced over his tongue. Desperately, he licked at the roof of his mouth. More water, enough to tease his throat. Then he was drinking, reveling in the liquid. He tried to turn over. Pain staggered his mind.
Hold still. Your leg. Very bad. Wait just a minute. Drink more.
This time he recognized the pressure against his lip. Buffalo gut water bag.
Now, let me see your leg.
He felt fingers lifting the hem of his Berdash's dress.
You're a man? In a... Berdash.
Gotta get back to camp. My fault. Gotta save the child. Got to...
Child is all right. I've got to do something with this leg. It'll hurt.
The grayness wrapped around him again, dragging him down into darkness, away from the pain. She'd saved his leg. The old woman had healed him while he waited there at Monsterbone Springs. Later, she'd gone, bringing back ranging hunters. They'd carried him here. Now he waited and suffered and wished for the high Buffalo Mountains where he'd grown up and found a place among a people who didn't treat him like an animal. Carefully, Two Smokes lifted the wolf bundle, placing it next to his cheek, feeling nothing of the power it had once held. He dropped sweet grass onto the coals of the morning fire, passing the bundle four times through the cleansing smoke and singing his devotion. With reverent care, he smoothed the scuffed sides of the wolf bundle and expertly wrapped it in the protective wolfskin. Fingers like ice traced his back. Power had been abused. Someone would suffer to restore the circles. Power always proved so unpredictable. Offended, it might strike anywhere. Anxiously, he looked over at the boy. With subtle tendrils, the wolf bundle reached out, twining itself around Heavy Beaver's soul. Like morning mist, it explored the texture of the man's spirit. Like the star web across the heavens, it wound around the sleeping man. Imperceptibly, the net began to close, tightening around Heavy Beaver's life.
The time hasn't come yet. He still serves our purpose.
He seeks to drive human beings from the world around them. He would divide the world. If he has his way, men will become more important than Earth, sun, animals, even women.
The time hasn't come. Our plant has only sent up shoots.
The boy may not be strong enough. He may be the trickster. This Heavy Beaver is evil.
Trust in the circles.
It would be so easy to kill him now. Disperse his soul into the rocks and mold and send it flying with the windborn dust.
And you yourself would alter the spirals. Trust the harmony. Trust the way of the wise one.
Reluctantly, The power of the wolf bundle unwound from around Heavy Beaver's soul. White Calf walked slowly down the trail. Countless elk, mountain sheep, and buffalo had beaten the path. Here and there, a deadfall had blocked the trail, causing her to work her way around on brittle legs to find the main thread of the path again. Animals thought differently than humans, and the game trails led from one meadow to another, or to shelter in the thick timber, or perhaps a place where water might be found. Human beings traveled in straighter lines. She contemplated the problem and decided a lesson could be learned from it.
Which are the brighter? The people who travel long distances and want long, straight trails over the shortest route? Or the animals who travel by the day, suffering only to meet their needs?
White Calf scratched behind her ear and resettled her heavy pack. The scent of fur hung thick in her nose as she promptly set off along the ridge crest. Not for 4 years had she followed this route to the divide that would take her into the basin. In that time, the Wise One above alone knew what changes had been wrought. It might be a long trip. From the place where she lay in the shadows, Tanager watched the old woman, wondering who she was.
The witch? White Calf?
A brief flutter of anxiety seized her 8-year-old soul as she wondered what evil might come of watching a witch. Tanager froze, not even reaching to pull the wild strands of hair back from her face. Smudged and soiled, she remained motionless. She'd learned well despite her age. While watching animals, a person shouldn't move. Elk, for instance, saw everything. They were almost magical in their abilities to see, smell, and hear. And once, she'd been forced to stay still as the dead when a grizzly bear had prowled to within feet of her. Only the breeze had saved her that time, blowing the bear's sour scent into her nose. But then, Tanager had always known she was special. The games of the other girls had no appeal for her. Something had always drawn her to the timber, to skip gracefully along the polished trunks of the deadfall and climb around in the rocks where a fall would have meant instant death. No amount of scolding by her mother could keep her home, not when the trees and animals called to her. She wrinkled her nose as the old woman disappeared. No one would believe she'd seen a witch, surely not Cricket or Elk Charm. With no more noise than a stalking bobcat, Tanager backed out from her hiding place and shot down the trail toward camp, running as only Tanager could. Little Dancer curled into a ball, hoping his sleep would ease the cramps in his stomach. The string of uneasy dreams wound deeper into his mind. He'd never forget the sight of Dancing Doe's baby being smashed onto the hard cobbles of the ridge to flop and quiver and at last lie still. From where he'd hidden in the sagebrush, he'd seen the tortured expression on Dancing Doe's face. Above it all, Heavy Beaver's smile hovered, mocking. The image shifted. Little Dancer's gut twisted as the wolf bundle landed on unresisting ground. He remembered the sucking emptiness that had pulled at his young soul.
No!
The people are dying, like smoke from a distant fire. We're drifting away, becoming less and less.
An old woman walked down out of the trees, hobbling with the aid of a walking stick. A tump line secured an awkward pack low on her back, while breezes tugged her gray braids this way and that. As she looked at Little Dancer, her deep-set dark eyes glowed with power. Shifting again, he danced and whirled, the world spinning below him. A man threw something at the sky, his face contorted as if by anger. A sudden light blinded him painfully. He felt the hunger, like waves lapping the cobbles of Moon River. pangs of want washed around him, bearing him on the current, twisting around, gurgling.
Stop it! Stop!
The knot in his belly grew, encompassing all the people. Pangs of hunger like tendrils reached out to touch the men who waited on butte tops. It tickled their bellies as they searched for fresh tracks. He ached for all the people, feeling the wasting of their bodies, the energy draining from their flesh.
Feed us. Feed me.
The cramping of his stomach tightened as the last of the thin stew entered his blood.
We come. Remember this day, for we are you.
He started at the nearness of the voice. A curious, hazy sensation sent him drifting. A taste lay on his tongue, that of sage, usually so bitter, now almost sweet. Frightened, he ran on light legs. The view of the world around him expanded, oddly flat, but vividly clear. He ran, realizing he did so on four nimble legs. Creatures, antelope, stood with rump patches flashing white at his alarm. A doe stood alert and faced him. Without thought, he turned to race for her and the security she meant to him.
We come. We come.
He shivered, torn from the body he inhabited. Dazed, he struggled against the pressure on his shoulder, kicking.
Little Dancer, wake up! It's a bad dream! Wake up!
He blinked, clearing his filmy eyes to stare at his robes piled before his nose, half afraid of what he'd find. His mother stared down at him, concern in her tense face, running a soothing hand down his shoulder.
It's a dream, that's all. A bad dream.
With an effort, like walking through deep, wet snow, he cleared his thoughts.
Are you all right?
He shook his head, the misty image of the antelope fawn clouding his reality.
No, not a bad dream. We are one.
I know. I've been having nightmares too, after last night.
He looked over at where Two Smokes slept, the par flesh containing the wolf bundle tight against his chest.
No! We're one! The antelope herd! They're coming! To the river! Coming!
Sage Root stared at him, frown lines deepening in the smooth skin of her brow. He sat up, feeling the awe of it all.
I mean it! I saw! In the dream! I just can't.
She lifted an eyebrow, thoughtful as she stared out the lodge entrance.
Explain.
I got scared. But it wasn't bad. Not like Heavy Beaver would say. Not evil. Not bad, I swear. It was one. Not different.
Coming to the river. In the dream, which way was the sun?
There. West.
And the antelope were moving which way?
South.
Sage Root hunched over, supporting her chin with a fist.
If the dream was real, a spirit dream, the time is now, then.
She chewed at her lip for a moment, fingering her long, gleaming braids.
The old antelope trap is only a short walk from here.
Heavy Beaver will get real mad if you trap antelope.
It's only a little boy's dream, not a spirit dream. What's left besides hope?
She nodded slowly to herself. When she turned toward him, resignation hunched her shoulders.
We're all hungry. He can curse us on full stomachs.
But the fear lurked in her eyes like a coyote in the night. Bloodbear saw the trader first. He walked easily up the buffalo trail along the valley bottom. He wore a brightly painted shirt, back bent to a pack secured by a thick, ornately beaded tump line. In one hand, he carried a long stick that rose to a hoop decorated in gaily dyed feathers, the staff of a trader. A line of dogs followed, tails wagging, heads down, and panting as they bore saddle packs of their own. Bloodbear approached the man warily. Despite the heavy pack on his shoulders and the string of pack dogs, he might still be an enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was the universal pigeon of travelers who came in peace. But the shafts of Bloodbear's darts felt smooth on his fingers where they rested in the atlatl, ready to be cast. The man made the sign for, who? Bloodbear lifted his hand, palm out, fingers widespread. Then he pointed to the red hand he'd painted on his worn shirt.
Red Hand, I am Three Rattles, from the White Crane people, north of the Big River. Once, in my great-grandfather's day, Red Hand and White Crane peoples were the same. Languages not so different.
No, language not so different.
A relief he wouldn't have to use sign language with all its problems. Traders came and went, using a signing technique, when needed, to barter their goods. Traders had special power. Everyone knew that and accepted them. No good came from killing or robbing a trader. Doing so biased the power the traders claimed as their own, turning it against the murderer or thief. Without the traders, blue stones couldn't come from the far south. Olivella, dentalium, and oyster shells from the Western Ocean wouldn't be traded for special beads. Beautiful stone tools of chert and obsidian, elk ivories, dried delicacies like buffalo tongue, or finely crafted robes could not leave his own area for that of the river peoples in the east. But the traders did more than bring goods a people couldn't find where they lived. They carried news of the land and animals. The traders brought information about wars and different bands of people. Although Bloodbear had never been there, he knew of the oceans to the west and south from the traders' tales. He'd never met a member of the Thunder People in the far south, but he knew they shaved the sides of their heads, scalp locks hanging far down their backs in a single braid. The Father Fish People, he'd been told, lived many tens of days' journey to the southeast and ate mostly fish because they didn't have buffalo. He'd learned of many people through the stories of the traders. Three Rattles hunched his back, slipping out of the tump line, letting the heavy pack slide to the ground while the dogs came up to nose Bloodbear's own animal. Three Rattles pointed far to the south.
Been a long journey. Not good down there. Been a lot of raiding. Buffalo aren't doing good. Most of the people are camped along the rivers, mostly running mud now. Then there's places south of Moon River where the dirt blows so bad you can't see. I cross places where sand drifts across the earth like snow in the winter. Nothing growing there. Nothing to eat. Got to carry rations. Each time I go, the dunes get bigger. What's news here?
The same. The people want rain.
Three Rattles looked Bloodbear up and down.
You've been out by yourself.
I won't go back until I find something.
You're Bloodbear.
I'm Bloodbear. I didn't know my fame had spread.
Got some special stuff here. Dried fish from the South Ocean. Not much left. Only a taste or two. Share?
He reached up with some brownish-looking, flaky stuff. Bloodbear took the small piece offered and bit into it. He couldn't quite decide if he liked the curious, oily taste. The fish had been too long in the pack. A slightly rancid aftertaste remained in his mouth.
Not buffalo, but still food.
Bloodbear squatted.
You wouldn't have heard of a woman traveling south, would you? Among the Red Hands, she was known as Clearwater. She left my people 8 summers ago with a bear dash.
I heard. You've been looking that long.
Casually, Bloodbear lifted a shoulder.
No, I've heard nothing of a woman from the Red Hand. Me, I've been up and down. I like going along the mountains, clear south to the wetlands. I go south for a year, then I go north for a year to spend time with the White Crane and see my relatives. After the winter, the voice calls and I go south. In the 4 trips I've made, I never heard of this woman. That still leaves a lot of places to look, east and west and north.
She had something that belonged to the Red Hand.
A wolf bundle.
Then you know.
I know. I know something else, too. You may not have had to go so far in your searches. Last spring, I camped with a short Buffalo People band where Moon River and Sand River joined into one. I heard jokes about a Burdash who eats grass. That was last spring. So I don't know how far to trust the strength of those stories. You know, information, like sinew, gets old and cracks and falls apart with age.
Bloodbear frowned into the distance.
Two Smokes used to collect grasses. He'd chew them sometimes, but mostly he'd put them in his pack.
This could be him. The Burdash they laughed about picked grasses. They said he had a sacred bundle with him. The other thing I remember is that he limped. Buffalo ran over his leg or something.
Bloodbear's heart seemed to boom like a pot drum at blessing. He struggled to keep himself still, fighting the urge to fidget and rock on his heels.
Remember the band he was with?
Heavy Beavers. They normally range on Moon River, raid the Red Hand every so often, but then I guess you raid back.
We haven't raided much in the last few years. The spirit of the... Well, we just haven't raided.
But if this Burdash was Two Smokes, that would change.
You know that's why the Red Hand and the White Crane split so long ago. It was a fight over the wolf bundle. I don't know all about it, but it's old. Very old. We still have legends about it.
Bloodbear stood.
Heavy Beaver's band. They camp on Moon River.
He helped Three Rattles with his pack, handing the man his trader's staff.
I don't have anything to trade now. But maybe someday I will.
Three Rattles' face broke into an enigmatic smile.
Good luck, Bloodbear. I hope to trade with you someday.
Bloodbear lowered an eyebrow, thoughts on the crippled Burdash and Moon River.
I want something back for my fish.
With a wave, Three Rattles was off. For long moments, Bloodbear watched the trader and his dogs heading north. He checked his bearings. The high mountains lay directly east. Moon River didn't lie all that far to the north. All he had to do was reach the river and find the Short Buffalo People camp of this Heavy Beaver. It wouldn't take him long. Not now. The wolf bundle floated in the boy's dream.
Perhaps he is the one.
Be careful. Too much of a taste of power at so young an age, and he could go the way of Heavy Beaver. He's only a child.
The wolf bundle pulled back, disengaging. The wolf dreamer was right. It must wait, abide by the great spiral of the universe. Time remained meaningless. Now existed, as it always had, and always would. But another now would come, if the child proved strong enough. Sage Root wiggled the stick that held high a thin flag of white hide. She crouched behind a prairie dog mound, keeping low, face screened by a clump of sage she'd twisted from the ground. Despite their ability to outrun the wind, antelope had limits. Those she hoped to prey on today. For the moment, she couldn't think of Little Dancer's dream or what it meant. The antelope had come, just as the boy insisted they would. Across the sage-strewn drainage, the antelope buck pranced, turning sideways to stare at her. The doe continued to walk ever closer, head lowered cautiously, curiosity obsessing her. The rest of the herd watched, some following the doe, others pausing to nibble at sage.
Come on. You've all got to follow. You've just got to.
Sage Root jerked the stick again, causing the snow-white prairie dog hide to flutter. The doe stepped cautiously over bunches of gnarled sage. Not far now. The wing walls of the laboriously constructed trap spread to either side. If they came only a couple of lengths closer, she could whistle the call to spring the trap. Sage Root let the doe peer at the waving bit of hide for a moment and wiggled the stick again, distracting her from looking back at the buck. Then the doe came trotting forward, the rest following along, the buck, as usual, waiting for all the does and new fawns to take the lead. Almost, just a little farther. The wind teased the bit of white hide, dancing and waggling it lazily. The buck passed the brush clumps marking the boundaries of the trap. The lead doe had come so close, ears up, walking nervously. To either side, the wing walls of the trap stretched. Sage Root, heart beginning to hammer, wet full red lips and filled her lungs. The lead doe flashed her white rump patch in alarm, trying to slip to the side, finding a solid wall of woven sagebrush. She quivered, dancing sideways on lightning feet. The herd followed in panic. Sage Root waited, fists clenched, heart pulsing in her chest, as the antelope's escape route was cut off. Behind the milling herd, the women and children closed in, pushing the antelope into the bottleneck of the trap. The lead doe turned, finding only one avenue of escape, and charged down the narrow runway into the arroyo. In the dust of their passage, Sage Root scrambled to her feet, racing after them, her long black hair flying in the pell-mell rush of the chase. She stood at the narrow end of the chute leading into the arroyo, knowing the antelope had to come back this way, that they'd entered a dead end from which they couldn't escape. She waited, holding a long dart like a thrusting spear in case the antelope came racing back. Fire at Night appeared at her shoulder, a stocky boy of 15, fast and agile despite his bulky body.
We did it!
Can you hold this end? Maybe keep Throw's rocks here? If they get out, we're all going to be hungry.
We'll do it! It's a thing to sing of!
She grinned at him before climbing up the side of the trap onto the eroded terrace, running to where the antelope piled up with barely enough room to turn, starting back down the narrow passage. As they raced back, Sage Root knocked a dart. True to the mark, the dart caught the lead doe full in the body. She stumbled and went down. The herd piled into her kicking body. One or two panicked animals scrambled over the carnage, running a gauntlet of darts back down the arroyo. Out of darts, Sage Root grinned at the kicking pile of dying animals. Dust streaked her face and hair, a song of joy in her heart. From where she'd left it earlier, she picked up a hide sack full of her butchering tools. For the time being, no more infants had to die, as dancing does had. No more pangs of hunger would pull at the people in the night. For the moment, they would eat. To fix the old trap had been a gamble, the work done in secrecy, lest someone tell. Chokecherry's sobering reminders of Heavy Beaver's power lurked like hungry weasels in her mind. She couldn't shake his promise of retaliation that night of Dancing Doe's difficult delivery. Makes Fun gestured, offering her the honor of the first meat.
Hey, you first! You put this together!
She flushed slightly at the compliment. Yes, she'd defied Heavy Beaver, taking the risk to make this happen when she'd seen the antelope winding down toward the river. The old trap had been so close to the route the antelope would take back to the uplands that the opportunity couldn't be wasted. She'd argued passionately, aided by the hunger in the eyes of the children. Uneasy at first, the people had followed. Sage Root smiled back at Black Crow's wife and jumped down the dusty bank. Before her, the lead doe panted, a froth of blood bubbling around her nostrils. The fletched end of the dart shuddered with each dying breath. Sage Root knelt over the dying doe, reaching out to stroke her head.
Forgive me, mother. It is a way of things that men, like antelope, must eat. Bless your meat to our use. May your soul run like the wind to dance among the stars.
The thrashing doe relaxed. Sage Root lifted the heavy hammerstone. Then the work began in earnest, amid toothy smiles. The people gutted and sliced and packed meat from the trap. Hungry mouths consumed the livers on the spot, offering first meat rites to friends and helpers, heedless of the red that dribbled down bobbing chins. Blood smeared strong brown arms and legs as quarters were handed up for the old women to cut into strips.
Get them strips off. Weather this hot, you gotta strip the meat quick. Get it laid out on the sage. You don't, more maggots will eat it than people.
Sage Root arched her back to soothe the ache of bending over. A grit of dust ground in her teeth, a fulfilling taste of blood and fresh liver on the back of her tongue. She wiped at the perspiration on her face, streaking her face with red smudges.
How many did we get?
About 3/10 of fingers. Throws rocks and fire at night didn't let a single one escape.
Sage Root lifted the last of her animals to eager hands above, leaving only bloody gray silt under the litter of white and brown antelope hair. Grabbing a blood-encrusted hand, she scrambled up the gritty side of the arroyo, squinting in the bright light of the afternoon sun. About her, sagebrush had turned red under the weight of long strips of meat drying in the sun. Here and there, children romped and played, waving hands, shooing flies from the wet meat.
See? You didn't believe me, but I knew they'd come. I sat up on the hill, feeling them. Look! Food! Food for everyone!
Sage Root turned, smiling, seeing Little Dancer where he pranced and waved a sagebrush branch over a bloody bush.
Hey! Watch it! Watch where you wave that! You're knocking the meat off! Get sand in it, and you eat it!
Sobered, he dropped his gaze, face lining as he turned his attention to keeping the flies away. Sage Root shaded her eyes, looking southwest toward the cool spikes of the mountains. The snow line had been higher than she'd ever seen this last winter. Down by the main camp, the river could be waded, water never coming higher than her knees. Even the cottonwoods looked dusty, the new leaves a darker green. Through it all, the wind continued to blow out of the southwest, hot, dry, sucking any moisture left from the prostrate dust.
Sage Root?
She turned, seeing Makes Fun gesturing down the drainage. Three people picked their way through the sage. She didn't need to squint to know Heavy Beaver's lumbering walk.
I think it's a good time to leave. Go hide under the bones in the arroyo.
No. Just keep doing what you're doing. I'll go talk to him before he gets here. Keeps the rest of you out of it that way.
Careful. Don't antagonize him. You saw what happened the other night. Don't do anything to make him curse you. You know what he's saying about the women as it is.
I know.
With iron nerve, she forced herself to walk steadily toward him. Old Two Elks came second in line, a nervous set to his sagging shoulders. Heavy Beaver's wife, Red Chert, walked last, eyes downcast in her round face. Heavy Beaver stopped, pulling himself up, and stared at her through expressionless eyes.
It's good to see you back, Heavy Beaver. You had good dreaming.
He tilted his head slightly, a distaste forming in the set of his wide brown lips.
Dreaming isn't your concern, woman. Looking behind you, I'm starting to wonder what is.
Feeding the people should be everyone's concern. Don't look at me like that. You're Two Stones Moiety. I'm Wolfheart. I'm under no kin obligation to even be polite, but I will. Since you sing and dream for the people, for that I respect you.
I'm glad you're an obedient daughter of the people, woman. If your piety is so great, what have you done here, Could it be that you've killed Brother Antelope? Ah, yes, I suppose so. And the ritual, did you sing that? Dance it like Antelope above likes it danced? Or perhaps you didn't. Perhaps you fouled the ritual, offended Antelope above like Buffalo has been offended. What then, woman of the people? Who will feed us if all the animal spirits have risen to the wise one above and told him to stop Rain Man from dancing water from the clouds? What have you done?
I fed my people. I told the Antelope Mother what I did. She knows.
And I suppose you're bleeding on top of it all. Menstrual blood on a hunt? If there's trouble these days, you always seem to be at the bottom of it.
As if it was any of your business, I'm not. My moon passed 2 weeks ago. You should know, Heavy Beaver. You seem to keep good track of when each woman enters the Bleeding Lodge. Part of your dreamer's responsibility? Or something else?
She swallowed hard, trying to still the fires of injustice tugging at her gut.
Times are changing, Sage Root. Oh, I know your lineage. I know the sort of woman your mother was. Passionate, like you. That's where you get it, I suppose. Your father never stood up to her, never taught you the manners to make you a polite woman, dutiful. Then you couldn't wait to rot with Hungry Bull. The name fits him. You've never...
Because I wouldn't bed you? Ugh, never mind. It was long ago. You wouldn't have wanted me for a second wife anyway. And that's one of the biggest lies I've ever told. Look at you. Even now, practically drooling. And you talk to the spirit world?
Red Chert had stood through it all, eyes downcast as always. Stolid of expression, she waited, the wind tugging at her long black braids. A small, dumpy woman, she'd never borne Heavy Beaver a son. Yet she bled like any other woman, taking her time in the menstrual hut. Ever quiet and docile, she never even laughed at the crude jokes the women told. She spoke rarely, and then only of the essentials.
Indeed. You'd have made a very poor second wife. And I'll hope you haven't ruined the people forever with this little display of yours.
And where are the buffalo you've been singing to for so long? Do I see the hills black with their bodies? All the time the people have been giving you the best of what little remains so you could spend time in the dream without worries about your fat belly going gaunt? Maybe you haven't listened past the sound of your own voice. The children of the people are crying. And what have we got? Rain? You see any of that this spring? No. All we get are your accusations that women are spoiling the world, killing the people. There wouldn't be any people if it wasn't for everyone doing what they can, including women. Have you seen Dancing Doe recently? Have you seen the misery in her eyes every time she thinks about what you made her do?
You push too far, Sage Root.
The chill of fear, overly damped by anger, reasserted itself. This fool could curse her, and he had every reason after she'd ridiculed him that night he'd tried to take her. Ridicule wasted a man, ate at him, and Heavy Beaver didn't forget.
Yes, you understand. Perhaps you do too much, take on too much. You would divide the people when they must pull together, dance and sing and apologize to the spirit world above for so many transgressions. In you, I see only arrogance and pride. So much pride. Is that because of your beauty? Because of your husband? Do you think you're better than the rest of the people?
Sage Root bit her tongue to still the hot response.
Remember, the wise one above led men up from under the ground and into this world. A being who crawled out of the earth like moles shouldn't be too proud.
I stand on my own under Father Sun as you do, Shaman.
But I dream the powers, woman, and I think you're too proud. Go ahead, eat your meat. I refuse to touch it, to foul my lips with your sacrilege. We'll see where your impudence and arrogant pride gets you in the end.
He pushed past her, raising his arms.
Antelope above! I see what the woman has done to you. I see the insult to your children. I see the defiling of my brothers. Know that I, Heavy Beaver, refuse to taste, eat, or even smell of this violation. I declare this meat to be putrid and fouled by a denier of you and my people.
And with that, he whirled, a gleam of triumph in his black eyes, as he shoved her aside and strode down the trail back toward the camp. In stunned silence, Sage Root stared, disbelieving, unable to comprehend that he'd act to waste a good kill, a clean kill, defiling the meat in the very mouths of the people. Like a great hand from above, a darkness descended on her soul. Hungry Bull froze, half a breath caught in his lungs. He cocked his head to listen, tightening the grip on his weapon. The feeling of the smooth wood, balanced so perfectly in his knotted fist, reassured him. Hungry Bull's quarry shifted position. Close, so close, just there, on the other side of the sage. Hungry Bull tested the balance of the trimmed wood in his hand, feeling the heft, waiting to dispatch his enemy. Life and death, the old dance continued. Even here in the deep sagebrush, the greatest game played out. This game, Hungry Bull played very well. Few matched his skill with weapons or cunning ambushes. His quarry retreated ahead of him. Using all his craft, he slowly lifted his foot, drifting it silently forward, placing it between dry clumps of grass, delicately resettling his weight to the ball of his foot. Hungry Bull studied each pattern of the shadows, searching for the outline of the raider. Killing took patience. Revenge would be all the better if the thief never knew his danger. He eased another step forward, careful eyes on the spiky, uplifted arms of the sagebrush around him. The muscles in his leg trembled slightly as he shifted his balance, peering into the hollows where the brush thinned. The thief stopped, raising, poised to flee, head cocked to listen, while sharp brown eyes glinted in the graying light. Hungry Bull froze again. The thief hesitated, nervously, as if warned by some sixth sense.
He's going to bolt.
The hardwood stick, curved into an L shape, caught the thief low, tumbling him in a heap. Hungry Bull vaulted the sagebrush in pursuit.
Got you!
To his surprise, the thief pulled himself up and scrambled into the denser mat of sagebrush and grass. Perplexed, Hungry Bull bent down, studying the tracks through narrowed eyes.
Must have been just a little off. Broke a leg.
He grasped the stiff gray branches of a sagebrush and twisted them until the root parted. Satisfied, he picked up his throwing stick, slipping it behind the buffalo hide belt he wore, and took up the scuffed track of the thief. Using the uprooted plant for a flail, he smacked clumps of sagebrush, poking here and there, seeking to flush his wounded prey.
All right, where'd you go? Look, you can't get away. You got a broken leg. Come on out. Better I eat you than some tick-infested coyote.
Hungry Bull bent down, peering into a thick shock of grass, seeing a gleaming brown eye staring back. The pink tip of nose quivered, a wealth of silvered whiskers shivering. A hobbling brown streak shot out the other side. He lunged, grasping for the thief's body, missing. Again, he pelted after the small brown and white shape. They'd crossed most of the drainage bottom now, closing on the gentle slope that led up to the rounded ridgetop. If the thief got to the rocks up there, got to a hole, it would be all over. Hungry Bull slid to a stop.
Lost you!
The thief had doubled back, making a wide circle as Bull crashed down on him.
There you are!
Again, the mad scramble continued, the thief belying his broken leg as he slipped through the small spaces. Bull, condemned by size, had to pound through by dint of brute force. Worming after the scrambling fugitive, he slapped at him, finally got a grip on his tail, and pulled. The captive clawed frantically at the loose dirt as Hungry Bull dragged him back.
Got you!
Hungry Bull stood, grinning, his prey dangling by a brown and white tail, front legs outstretched, broken hind leg limp. Under the sleek, buff-brown coat, lungs labored, whiskers trembling. Bull lifted him up to stare into the frightened black eyes.
You ate the last of my jerky. What you didn't eat, you pissed and shit on. To make matters worse, you chewed the thong of my allotal in two. Takes time to make an allotal just so. Get the right spirit power into it.
The whiskers continued to quiver, the beady eyes bright with terror and hurt.
So what I'm going to do is get even. Tonight, we're going to eat you for dinner. Get you back for our jerky, huh?
He grabbed the beast around the chest, ready to break its neck. Undaunted, the scrambling captive sank long white teeth into the web of skin between Bull's thumb and forefinger.
Ow!
He slammed the creature to the ground. Like a shot, it bolted into the sage. Bull stared stupidly at his hand for a second, realizing what had just happened. As the morning sun threaded yellow beams into the canyons, Hungry Bull trotted along a deer trail that wound through the thick sage in the canyon bottom. This buffalo hunt had turned into another debacle. Occasional chips had been located, all of them years dry. As he trotted down the trail, a limp, brown and white body dangled and jerked from his right hand. He could count off a finger for each day since he'd left Sage Root and camp, and add another 3 toes to the list. Never had the animals been so few, so far between.
Hey, you!
Bull slowed to a stop, looking around warily as he tried to pin the location of the call. Cautiously, he slipped his atlatl from where it hung on his belt. He pulled a long dart from the quiver over his back. Practiced fingers knocked the dart in the hooked end of his spear thrower.
Who is it?
Here!
This time he caught the direction of the voice. Looking up along the ridge, he squinted against the brilliance of the sun. He shaded his eyes with the flat of his hand. The body of his mourning victim bounced limply in the process. A hunched figure stood silhouetted by the morning rays. Hunched the way Trickster Coyote could do when the urge came on him to take human form. Already unsettled, Bull stepped off the trail, wary, climbing carefully, eyes searching the surroundings. Just as he'd trapped the little thief, so could he too be trapped in the endless game of life and death. Where they waited in hunting camp, Three Toes and Black Crow would never know the difference, if they hadn't already been caught.
Here I am, already assuming it's an Anitai war party.
He bit his lip, seeing the figure above more clearly now. Silhouetted against the light, it waited, ominous, balanced on skinny legs, body bulky.
I don't like spirit power. I don't have any use for that stuff. Just trouble, that's all.
Wary now, ready to run, he stared around, looking for ghost sign, for a hint of evil, as if he knew what that might look like.
Trickster? That you? Coyote?
Coyote? Me? Ah! That's what they're teaching you kids these days. Horncore gotten a little crazy in his old age, or what?
Horncore's dead. Smoke and fire, is this some spirit joke?
Hungry Bull swallowed hard, beginning to back away, ticklings of fear running through him like tiny ant legs.
Oh, come on. I'm not wandering all the way down there. I walked too far for that. I need your help. Eh? Ha! What's that? Going to run? I'm going to walk into a village of the people and tell them how one of their brave young men turned and bolted from me like Brother Jackrabbit from a wolf. I can hardly wait.
Slightly shamed, Hungry Bull continued to pick his way up the slope, searching his memories of the elders to place the voice. Against the light of the morning sun, he couldn't identify who it was.
Coyote trying to trick me.
But Coyote usually did that during visions and dreams. Sometimes, disguised as a hunchbacked old woman, he'd lull a pretty young girl to sleep. Then his penis would sneak out and impregnate her, and she'd never know. From this angle, he could make out her form. The hunchback look came from the pack she carried. The face might have been beautiful once, broad-cheeked and full, and he couldn't shake the feeling he knew her. He reached the ridgetop, carefully looking around, still uncertain if he'd walked into the middle of an Anita trap, uncertain about a lot of things. But no warriors waited to ambush him. The old woman cocked her head, watching as he looked over the crest of the ridge, casting about suspiciously. She winced in the sunlight as if at a hidden pain and walked forward.
Well, at least you're not entirely a fool.
Warily, Hungry Bull waited, palms sweating where he held the dart ready to cast. He knew he'd seen her before. But Coyote could trick a man that way. Take the face of a dead person, or maybe even a live one for all he knew. From the look of her tattered dress, the gauntness of her flesh, she might have been a childless widow woman with no one to look out for her. Then he met her eyes, and his soul froze.
Who are you?
You don't know me. If you're who I think you are, boy, you've aged well. Handsome.
I am Hungry Bull, son of Seven Foxes and Bright Cloud. My grandfather was...
Yes, yes, I know you. Knew your father. No, of him, I should say. Knew your grandfather, Big Fox. Well,
A saucy gleam filled her eye as she looked him up and down.
Knew him well, indeed. The ways of the wind lead us round and round, don't they? What a person starts always comes back. Somehow, some way, the vision was right. It was time to come.
Hungry Bull squinted, slightly irritated, still unsure. A man never knew what the demons might do to him. Swallowing hard, he set himself, terribly afraid. Quick as lightning under a thunderhead, he flicked the point of his dart down and jerked her skirts up. She jumped back, arms flailing for balance, hindered by her walking stick.
What?
Hungry Bull ducked, looking under her skirt. A woman. Only quick reflexes saved him as the walking stick descended in an arc.
Hey, don't kill me!
Before she could recover, he got his feet braced and scampered back.
No!
Wait! I was just checking!
She glared at him, walking stick raised high.
Coyote disguises himself as a woman!
She started forward again.
I'm sorry, I'm just a hunter. All I know about Coyote is what spirit dreamers tell me.
You ever seen Coyote look like an old woman?
No.
Then why are you...
Because he might. And if he wants to trick someone, it can be someone besides me. I got enough troubles.
Okay. I believe you.
Good. Who are you?
My first human name was Green Willow. Shows you how long ago that was. You're Hungry Bull. Supposed to be quite a hunter, I hear tell.
I'm the best among my people.
She glanced at the trophy dangling limply from his left hand.
Well, if a bushy-tailed pack rat is all you got, I wouldn't want to be one of your people. And it looks like quite a chase. Was that you I heard bashing through the sage like a monster in rut? All that for a pack rat?
He bristled, but caution held him. In the old stories, proud young men like him got in trouble doing that. The wise one above turned them into frogs and snakes and worms and such. And there was that look in her eye. A spirit power look. Like she could see his soul inside. Like she knew so very, very much more than he. And he knew her. He was sure of it.
Green Willow, are you real? In this world, I mean?
As real as you. And judging from your recent behavior, a whole lot brighter.
He flushed, lowering his eyes in shame.
Where were you going when I saw you down there? A camp of the people round here someplace?
He swallowed, pointing with darts to the southwest.
4 days' walk, down along the Moon River. Three of us, Black Crow and Three Toes and me, we came to hunt. I tried circling to the north.
Haven't had much luck, huh? Well, I've seen buffalo sign. One bunch, nervous and spooky. That was up above the Hogbacks.
That's not that far. Only half a day's walk. You came from there? That's getting too close to the Anita.
They leave me alone. Where's your hunting camp?
He pointed back to the east.
And the people are south? Tell you what, you go get your friends. Meet me at Monster Bone Springs tonight.
Monster Bone? Why there? That's a power place where the Hero Twins came and killed the monsters and ate them. You mean you...
Hungry Bull backed up a step.
Ah, so the stories go, huh? Hero Twins? Men killed the monsters, just like we killed buffalo.
She looked sadly at the rocky ground before her.
I don't know why it bothers me. Changing. Everything's changing. Turning. Making itself into something different.
We're told not to go there. That spirits like the trickster will take our soul.
Indeed. And I suppose that same lunatic tells you to look up women's skirts? Who tells you such things?
Heavy Beaver. He dreams.
I remember him as nothing more than a sullen kid. What happened? You get touched by more than bad humor?
He's a powerful...
Well, maybe. Or he's fooled everyone into thinking he is. I'll wait and see. Usually you can see power in a child. See it in their eyes, the way they move. Where's Horncore?
Dead.
When?
Maybe 3 years now. No one knows why. He broke his leg and it grew together. But it never stopped hurting. Then it swelled up, poisoned from the inside, like happens sometimes. Heavy Beaver said it was because Horncore called on bad spirits. And that's why Buffalo Above is punishing us, keeping Rain Man away. Horncore never had the right power to keep him.
Dung and flies, boy! Horncore was a dreamer in the old sense of the power. Heavy Beaver? He's like a child who would hunt buffalo with twigs.
No! I mean, never say things like that. Heavy Beaver will sing a curse over you, make the evil ghost come and...
That tapeworm curse me? That'll be the day. I see. It's all starting to make sense now. Curious how the power of the dreaming works. Curious.
She lost her line of thought, eyes going vacant as she stared out into space.
Who are you? I've seen you before someplace.
Huh? I told you. They called me...
Who are you now?
She smiled wistfully at him, raising an eyebrow to recrease the wrinkles in her forehead.
Met you in your lodge one night. Sage Root had just lost a child, boy child, as I recall. I needed a mother, a healthy woman with milk to give. No wonder you don't remember. That night, you were pretty upset. You hardly noticed me.
Whitecalf, they said you...
Rose into the sky on a whirlwind. I know. Unlike ravens who chatter all the time about important things, men like to carry on with a lot of nonsense. The boy's doing all right?
He nodded, still undone, remembering that night, remembering the grief in Sage Root's eyes as she cuddled her dead child. Then out of the dark came Horncore and the old woman, a bundle wrapped in her arms. A gift, she'd said. A child given by the spirits for one taken. His concern then hadn't been for old women out of the night, but for Sage Root. So he'd taken his dead son from her arms, replacing it with the living. Awed, he'd watched as Sage Root's breast accepted the child. And when he turned back, White Calf had gone. No one could find her in the camp that next day. Before he left to start his own band, Elk Whistle told him about White Calf and the wounded Berdash. She'd found Elk Whistle out hunting in these same hills, taking him to Monsterbone Springs, where the child and the wounded Berdash had been. Horncore had filled in more details, talking of White Calf's power, of how she lived high in the Buffalo Mountains, making magic. Other than that, little was known of her. At least, little that people would talk about.
Enough of this. What I need you to do is get on to your hunting camp. Pick up your friends, and I'll meet you at Monsterbone Springs. I'll have your pack rats stewed by the time you get there. Then we can all hear the exploits of your hunt.
He nodded, mind wheeling.
You gonna be there?
Yes.
White Calf lifted the pack rat to stare thoughtfully into its dull eyes.
Best hunter among the people, huh? Looks like you sat on it.
I did. Who's gonna get away again?